want to leave you with just one thought today, and it's the sell. But it's not just to our salespeople, it's to everybody in digital. Go out there, be aggressive, be proud of what you're doing, take the customers head on, and you can make a difference in driving the top line of this company.
Focusing externally, concentrating on teamwork. And I would say we need to adopt a refuse to lose approach.
When you see that 2,000% a year internet growth rate, you want to just jump in. Thing is, internet can help you gain or lose a lot of customers very quickly. If you disappoint someone, they can tell a few friends or a few thousand. It makes it crucial to work with a computer company that has experience helping people do business on the net, not to mention the world's fastest servers, like Digital.
Digital, whatever it takes.
You know how one dog ear equals seven human ones? Well, computers are like that compared to other machines. A seven-year-old airplane is younger than a one-year-old server. It makes buying decisions tough. Turn systems into orphans way too soon. Computer people ought to be sensitive to that. No matter how great the new stuff is that you've worked with, even optimize their old stuff. Digital does it. Everybody should.
Digital, whatever it takes.
Good morning. I'm Frank Brown. I'm the general manager for the Eastern Region for the System Business Unit. It's my privilege this morning to welcome you all to this employee forum, and to also welcome Bob, Harry, and John to this. This is the first time that Bob will be joined by Harry, who's the general manager and vice president of the System Business Unit, and John Rando, vice president and general manager of the Digital Service Division. Following the Bob and Harry, John will each make some remarks about our performance in Q2 and then the company's direction. And then following that, we'll have some questions, as Jim indicated earlier, where we can all participate in that. So with that, it's my privilege to introduce to you Bob Palmer, our chairman, president, and chief executive officer.
Thank you, Frank.
Well, thank you very much, Frank. I'm very pleased to join all of you here in the New York area for this digital video network about Q2's performance. We're going to use a different format starting with this program, and as been mentioned, I'd like to give you an opportunity worldwide to see other digital executives and have an opportunity to do the Q&A with other executives. Of course, we have too many to do in one program, so I selected two senior people to be here today. And in future DVNs, I hope that we'll have other executives if this format works out. So it's kind of an experiment. I hope what you're going to take away from these programs, however, is that digital success depends today more than ever, although it's always depended on teamwork. And that's certainly true of the senior management team, maybe the most true for us, as it is for all digital employees. What I'm going to do today is give a brief summary of our Q2 results and hopefully not take too long on that, so there's plenty of time for Q&A later. The first slide here will show the Q2 summary in a sense. We had a $32 million profit, which was slightly above what Wall Street expected for the company. Many had not expected us to be able to return to profitability coming off our very weak Q1. So sequentially, we had good improvement over Q1 in both revenue and gross margins, and that was good. You know, despite the fact that the revenues were down on a year-over-year basis very sharply, Wall Street didn't punish digital very much. Our stock remained about the same, and the reason for that, I believe, is that number one, they were relieved that we returned to profitability. Number two, they were particularly focused on the PC business unit, which last year had been losing large sums of money, and our objective had been to at least break even by the end of the December quarter. The fact that the PC business unit exceeded that goal and actually made a profit was one of the reasons I think the Street treated us very well. In addition to that, we had good success for many of the business units, but this is kind of a short program this morning, and I can't go through all of them. Another thing that I think was important in terms of how the Street views the company, the analysts, is that we did strengthen the balance sheet of the company significantly. We ended the quarter with $2.3 billion in cash, which is the highest in many years, and our inventory was at the lowest level in 9 years. So we did a good job of managing and manufacturing logistics, and in collections, we reduced our DSO sequentially by 12 days and year over year by 2 days. More to do in that area, but we got that cash out of inventory and collected from our customers, strengthened the balance sheet, and that builds confidence in the company in addition to the profitability. So we had good progress. On the other hand, on a year over year basis, the analysts were expecting it to be a difficult comparison, and the reason for that, I think the biggest issue was that a year ago, in the Q2 of 96, calendar year, we had shipped really too many products into the channels, and we hadn't sold enough out of those channels, so that in a sense, the revenues were higher than they should have been. And that was particularly true of the PC business unit, although it was true of some of the other units as well. So we had to work on getting that inventory down out of the channels, as well as, of course, replenishing stock with new products. But that made the comparisons unfavorable. Again, they were expecting that, which is why the stock didn't go down a lot. Another thing is we exited some businesses. For example, we got out of the PC retail business. So again, the comparisons are somewhat difficult year over year. Good progress sequentially, not as much as we need to have, but good progress. I would think another issue for the quarter, and certainly one that's facing us for this quarter and probably for Q4, is how strong the dollar has been. You know, we do something in excess of 65% of our business outside the United States, and as we convert into dollars, when the dollar is very strong, that impacts our revenue and our profit. Right now, the dollar is at approximately a four-year high against the Japanese yen and a three-year high, almost 3 years, against the Deutschmark. So again, that impacts digital. We have to overcome those things, and we have been doing that. The expectations for the second half of the year are for continued improvements on a sequential basis. Again, year-over-year comparisons will be difficult. And I think that, as I said in my previous remarks, I was fairly satisfied with the progress that we made sequentially, but we cannot be satisfied in an absolute sense until we resume a much more robust growth. This is a very dramatically growing IT market. We should be growing much more robustly, and we should be growing with better profitability than we've had. But we should feel good about the progress we've made, but we've got a lot more that we need to do. I think that the key challenges facing the company would be, clearly, revenue growth is the number one thing, employee engagement, which we've talked about before, and customer loyalty and partner loyalty that we've talked about. In terms of the leverage that we have, you know, the last several years have been difficult for everyone in the company. We've taken a lot of actions to get our costs competitively, and we've achieved a lot of that. So we're relatively competitive on the cost side. We've got excellent products. We've got an excellent strategy. And there's a lot of leverage now in this revenue. Put it in perspective, we were down almost $600 million. Comparing the second quarter, December quarter just ended, with the previous year, almost $600 million. And more than 80% of that was product revenue. So down a little in services, mostly in products. Because we've done all the good work to get our costs more or less in line, if every $100 million above what we achieved would deliver about $40 million to the bottom line. Said differently, if we'd had the same revenue, just flat revenue year over year, we would have shown a profit of about $300 million. Instead of $32 million, $300 million. Tremendous leverage now, the way the company is positioned, for additional revenue. And so clearly, that's what we need to focus on. You know, I started the year wanting to talk to some customers. And one of the reasons that I'm so optimistic is I had, in the first week of January, the opportunity to visit the five customers shown on this slide in Holland and Germany. And the general thing about each of these customers is, number one, they respected digital's technology and its products, and in particular in its services. Many of the problems they're trying to solve are services-led in each of these accounts. I don't have time this morning in the shortened schedule we've got for each speech to go over each of the accounts, but some things are quite generally true. They're looking for a partner that can help them with solutions, not just a box provider, and they need a total solution. In most cases, they're global. So they're looking for a company that can not only design and implement and help them with a solution, but one that can support them after the fact worldwide. And the other thing is, at every one of those accounts, several of the initiatives that we've identified as our important 139 strategy, several of those initiatives are exactly the problem they're trying to solve. So we are well positioned for what these customers want to buy. And in every account, as a result of the visit, there was millions of dollars of new opportunities that were opened up to us. So that certainly makes me feel very positive about our future. Now, when we talk about the other two factors, you'll see that employee engagement and customer and partner loyalty are essential for us to drive the revenue growth that I'm speaking about. We've been talking about employee engagement for quite some time. What I'm saying is that all of us have to have confidence in the company. We have to exhibit that confidence in supporting our sales professionals. We've got to make sure that we are responsive to our customers. And for the most part, you're doing that. And it's a good opportunity for me to say thank you for the hard work during the last quarter and in every quarter that I've had the privilege of being the CEO. You've worked hard to do whatever it takes to support our customers and our salespeople, and we've got to keep doing that. Our role in management is to try and make sure that you have the right training and the right tools and that we have the right strategy so that you can be successful. One thing I do want to talk about, and I don't know if Harry was going to mention it, has to do with one of our top priorities in the executive ranks of the company, and that is in fixing our Omega system. This last year, we started a very ambitious program that would capture all of the sales from the partners, the direct sales, into all of the accounts, and make sure that everybody on variable compensation got the appropriate credit and got the appropriate pay for his or her contribution. And sad to say, we're not doing it, and we know it, and we've got to fix that. And I can't think of a higher priority for the company. We're quite dedicated to it. We've reviewed it at great length at the executive committee, and we have a detailed plan, step by step, on how we're going to fix the problems with Omega, and there's many successes with it as well. And then we're going to roll it out broadly, and we're going to be much more efficient in how we capture a rather complicated situation for the variable comp. And we're going to do that. We have a total commitment to do it. In the meantime, we'll overwhelm it with clerks if necessary to make sure that everybody is appropriately paid for his or her contribution. Now, finally, in this customer partner loyalty issue, this is one we've talked about as well. We have to, every year, the expectations of customers are increasing on what it needs, what they need in terms of reliability, quality, scalability, service, support, responsiveness. And each of us that has some opportunity to help the customer, and all of us have some opportunity to help our customers, needs to be responsive and build on this customer and partner loyalty issue. We've done a lot technically this last year to help ourselves. For one thing, we just started a large call center in the United States, which is now able to handle 75 to 100,000 calls per month. A person is greeted with a human being, but software sits behind that human being so that we can get the information from the customer or the partner just once. And as we pass the call electronically to someone that can help with whatever the problem is, all of the information passes with it. And we capture an enormous amount of data from the customers or the partners that we can use for sales opportunities in the future. So that's one example. Another example is we just recently opened a multilingual customer help desk in Singapore. It's going to support more than 10,000 regional users in that area, and it's the most advanced available in Asia today. So we're doing a lot of these kinds of things to try and help empower our people out there and help with the customer experience, help with the ease of doing business issues, but there's a lot more we need to do. One of the things that we're very intent on doing, again, is in this employee engagement, is empowering all of our employees to do a better job for our customers. Harry tells me that he's got a pilot project running here in the northeastern region of the United States that I want to read this so that I get it right. It's going to enable our sales and support professionals to do a number of things without going through any bureaucracy. Issue refunds, replace products, reimburse customer expenses, and authorize similar activities without asking for layers of bureaucratic approval. It's a trial program. The idea is to see, how will this work without you being charged for it from your account? So it's not a penalty to you making a decision. If it's the right thing to do for the customer, doing whatever it takes, it's the right thing to do, and we want to try that and see how we can do it and how you can be empowered and we can be more responsive. And one way to do that is to push that authority out into the field where it's more, you know more about what's happening out there anyway. as a trial, and I'm optimistic it's going to be successful. I mentioned, I think, in the last DVN that a portion of all the executive compensation is tied to this issue of customer and partner loyalty. That is the variable comp portion. That's a piece of it. And part of our commitment is for all executives to be more available to you in the field, to meet with your customers, to help open some doors, and in particular, to reinvigorate our executive partner program. We've just kicked off a new phase of that program, which will involve a commitment between the executives of the company and an appropriate number of accounts with serious commitment and measurements that I can use to determine bonuses and whatever. I myself am the executive partner for our federal region, but in addition, of course, I'm available to help with important big deals as they come about if I can help. Finally, I'd like to go back to our corporate strategy a little bit. Remind you about our 139, and I wanted to take this opportunity. I think most of you have heard about the 139. We talk about our one mission. We talk about the three platforms that are growth platforms, but there has been some confusion about, well, what is our commitment then to OpenVMS? I want to make very clear that our commitment to OpenVMS is as it has been in the past. We're continuing to invest in it, develop it. It's a strategic platform for digital. We have a huge install base. But the issue about this particular slide and this particular strategy is we were talking to the analysts and the stockholders about growth opportunities. We don't see VMS as a huge growth opportunity, even though many of our new accounts are VMS. In fact, some of the customers on the slide that came up earlier in Europe are primarily interested, for example, the Deutsche Börse, in VMS because they need the failover capability, the reliability, the never goes down characteristics. Here in New York, many of the financial services firms are primarily interested in VMS for its high availability characteristics. But they're also moving to Windows NT on the desktop. And so fundamentally, that growth opportunity is in Windows NT, or it's in Unix for those that are committed to Unix as their mission critical or their applications platforms. And so we identify those as growth platforms, but make no mistake about it, OpenVMS pays the bills. And it's very important to this company. We will continue to support it and advocate for it in high availability areas where it makes the most sense. It's the best solution for the customer. The issue around all of these platforms and all of those initiatives is to make sure that we provide whatever the best solution is for the customer, whether it's on an alpha platform or an Intel platform, a cluster with partners, the right solution, and that's what they're needing help with. If you look at these initiatives, as I mentioned, when I visit customers, I talk to customers, the problems they're trying to solve are almost always addressed by one of these initiatives. In particular, we've been very successful in mail and messaging. You know, we've won almost every one of the large competitions on mail and messaging. More than 650,000 seats are now committed to digital Microsoft Exchange. Our directory services, our mail backbones, Microsoft Exchange, our service professionals, our support people, and we have the contracts for virtually all the large wins with quite an imposing list of companies. Just to mention a few, Lockheed Martin, 120,000 seats, British Telecom, 100,000 seats, Dow Chemical, Volkswagen, Northern Telecom, and so on. And there are many more in the hopper. So we're winning there because of our partners' capabilities, our own capabilities in software, and our services and support. As I said, many of these are service-led. If you look at it, you see the Windows NT integration. I mentioned that already with integrating with VMS or other legacy systems or integrating with Unix. We are the company that can best integrate Windows NT and Unix, and that is a very common environment out there in the marketplace. Some of the other customers I visited, as I mentioned, Dutch PTT, Deutsche Telekom, they're interested in internet services. They're taking advantage of the internet. They're interested in Digital's AltaVista software. They're interested in our AltaVista other products that are tunneling products, firewall products, you know, the collaborative products, the servers, the giga switches. We've got more than 2,000 giga switches out there in the world today supporting the internet. By far, the most prevalent high-performance switch on the internet today worldwide. So there's a lot of examples of successes that we've had recently and why there's a building momentum for the company. In our semiconductor side, again, Alpha has completely regained the lead in terms of performance. The recent microprocessor reports point out quite clearly that now, today, Alpha's the only other alternative to the Intel architecture for Windows NT. MIPS has fallen by the wayside. PowerPC has fallen by the wayside. It's only the Intel architecture, which we gladly provide to our customers, and the Alpha architecture. Those are the only platforms that Windows NT is being ported to by Microsoft. So we have a unique opportunity here, a differentiator. And with our strategic alliance with Microsoft and other partners, we can provide the solutions that these customers need. Also in semiconductor, the strong arm chip is gaining wide acceptance as the real engine for the network computer as that marketplace develops and emerges. Those telecom companies are very interested in network computers for their customers. They're going to be powered by strong arm. I think something like 5 or 8 of the large network computer interested companies have designed in strong arm, and Microsoft is porting Windows CE, their new personal consumer electronics version of Windows, to strong arm. We've got all the major design ins there, and in fact, the two companies that deliver about 80% of the world's computer terminals have chosen strong arm. So that's going to be a big product for our semiconductor groups. There's a lot of evidence about the technology that we have, the services that we have, the support capability that we have to position us to grow this business. And if I want to leave you with just one thought today, it's on this next slide, and it's real simple, and it's the sell. But it's not just to our salespeople. It's to everybody in digital. Everyone in the company, certainly the CEO and all of the management, have a responsibility and a vested interest in helping our sales professionals with any way we can, be responsive, help sell. You know, talking about teamwork and things, I would recommend to you the latest issue of Digital Today, which I saw on my way to this meeting this morning. I haven't read the whole issue, but I had an opportunity to just peruse some of the headlines. There's a lot of wins in there for digital, but the one that I specifically liked was from Hans Dergmann, who is president of our European operations. He has the headline and the body of the interview, internal cooperation, external focus. That's what we have to do. We have to cooperate internally, and we've got to focus externally. We've got to help our salespeople close business, and really, that will be a top priority not only in Q3 and Q4, but from now on. Thank you very much. I'm very pleased to introduce our next speaker, Harry Copperman, who's Vice President and General Manager of our Systems Business Unit. Harry?
Thank you, Bob, for the introduction, and thank you for the nice welcome. Let me start by saying I am very delighted to be here. Some of you may not know that I was actually born and raised in New York City. Now, if I start talking fast, that'll become very apparent. But it's great to be back in my home city and home state. I also began my sales career in New York City, and most of my large customers are in this geography. And I learned a long time ago, about 40% of the Fortune 500 companies in the world are headquartered within about a 2-hour radius of New York City. So not only is it a hometown spot for me, but it's certainly a high leverage part of our business. I'm also excited to be here because I understand through the power of electronics I am being beamed all over the world, so even though I'm in my home state, I also get a chance to talk to all of our employees worldwide. So again, delighted to be here. In the spirit of talking about the business, let me try to do 3 things in 10 minutes. One is give you a quick recap of what happened in the systems business unit in the first half of the year. Second, tell you what we're going to try to do to make the second half better than the first half. And then third, talk about what you can do to make sure we do execute that second half plan. So my agenda, update, perspective, and then your role. Okay, let me quickly talk about the first half. And this is fairly easy because the first half of the systems business unit actually reflects what happened in the company for the first half. And let me talk about 3 specific things. First, we started the year with a significant amount of change in our business. As many of you know, we consolidated a number of business units. We took the storage business unit, our embedded and real-time operations, our OEM business, our custom services business, and our direct sales force, and integrated all of them into the systems business unit. as you know better than I do, a non-trivial task. Most of those businesses are in excess of $1 billion in size. They represented thousands of people. And if you watch the mergers on Wall Street today, integration efforts of that size typically take 12 to 18 months. We did it in a month. And some of you have the scars from that effort, but the good news is we did it for the right reasons, and that stuff is behind us now. And in fact, while we were making those changes, we also made a number of changes in our sales coverage model, our selling motion, we moved to virtual teams, and we changed our sales plan to get the sales organization better aligned with our strategy. And we put some additional pressure on our field organization to drive productivity and yields up. So a significant amount of change compressed into about 30 to 90 days. And as you know as well as I do, we stuttered a little bit in terms of trying to drive the business when we made those changes. But in hindsight, I would tell you they were the right changes to make. I'm glad they're behind us. I feel like we've got the structure and the alignment now to go forward and execute the strategy. So significant change accomplished. Second good thing about the first half of the year is as a result of those changes, the basic underpinnings of our business are very, very sound right now. If you look at our profit and loss statement, in the systems business unit, we continue to improve our gross margins. That's partly as a result of new products being designed and introduced, improvements in our engineering processes, and significant improvements in manufacturing. So what that means is for every dollar of product we sell today, we're generating more profit than we did the quarter before. Very positive trend, gross margins going up. At the same time, we're managing our costs. We're actually ahead of plan on costs, and we're spending less money than we spent last year. So if you're looking for profitability, you want gross margins going up, costs coming down, that space in between is profit for the business. In addition, not only is the profit statement very positive, but if you look at our balance sheet, and Bob mentioned the cash flow improvements in the company, a lot of that is coming from the systems business unit. Our inventories are the lowest they've been in 9 years. Part of that is a result of the consolidations we've been able to do, the improvements in manufacturing. But we're spending off a lot of cash, and we had a lot of focus on credit collection in the second quarter. So we also were a big contributor to the balance sheet of the company. So good news on organization, good news on basic financials. One piece of bad news, though, and a very important piece of news, is despite those two great performances, we missed our revenue number in the systems business unit. Very disappointed to report that. I would tell you, we didn't miss by much. We missed by about 7%. We were 93% of plan for the first half, which is not bad. My wife says to me, gee, that's not bad. In school, 93% was an A. Why aren't you celebrating 93%? It turns out in business, 100% is meets minimum. You need to make that number. In fact, you need to overachieve to really drive profitability. The good news is we didn't miss everywhere. There are pockets of great performances in different geographies, different parts of the businesses, different accounts. And we're close enough that I believe we can make it up going forward. But clearly, our challenge going forward is to drive the top line and make the revenue number. So that's a quick recap on the first half. Let me quickly look to the second half now. And most of my comments are geared around driving the top half, the revenue line for the second half of the year. And let me tell you three things we're going to do to drive the second half of the year. First, we're going to continue to provide you with a compelling value proposition for your customers. Translated very simply, we're going to give you great products to take to the market. One of the nice things about the company strategy, and Bob mentioned the one mission, the focus on three technology platforms and the 9 targeted markets, they are supported not by rhetoric, but very strong products and supported by some outstanding services. And you all can talk about our leadership in 64-bit technology, our capabilities in very large memory, our price performance leadership, the scalability of our products, our ability to run multiple operating systems, and the investment protection that we offer our customers. Well, we're going to continue to do that, more of that, in the second half of the year. You will see new models of products, both in the server and the workstation and in the storage product line. You will see new chip speeds, which will drive performance. And you'll see significant price reductions to make the products more competitive. For those of you in the Americas, you know that we rolled out a significant price reduction in January. The analysts have called it the mother of all price reductions. but it was designed to really position us to sell very large memory in the marketplace and take our mid-range down to new customer sets. So you'll see more of that going forward. We have strong leadership right now in the personal workstation space, and we plan to continue to exploit that. Second thing we're going to do, great products are not enough. We know we need to create demand for those great products. So we'll be doing a couple of things to enhance the demand and awareness of our products. The most visible will be advertisement. You'll see much more focus on customers using our products, much more air cover on Unix and the value of Unix in the marketplace, and much more focus on building the brand and the digital name in the marketplace. Second, we'll be spending a lot more time with the key industry analysts. These are the folks that are talking to your customers on a regular basis and influencing their decisions. That's kind of underground marketing. It's not as visible as advertising, but I would tell you it has much more leverage than direct advertisement. And third, you'll see a lot more of our marketing programs being rolled out and aligned to the 9 targeted market segments. And that should help you generate leads, demands for both you and your partners. The third thing we're going to do in the second half, which I think will be a big help, is we will continue to enhance the infrastructure and provide you the tools with which you need to do your job. And again, a couple of the quick examples and proof points of how we're going to do that. The first, and the one I think that's the most important, is we will give you technology. We will continue to inject technology into your job so you can be more effective. Bob talked about the call center. Tremendous opportunity. It's twin turbolasers, twin 8400s, true clustered with an Oracle database. We're driving database warehousing, a closed loop lead tracking system, and managing our business and increasing the productivity of our sales force. We've also rolled out some new sales tools. A brand new configuration aid has been rolled out to the America sales force. That'll be rolled out worldwide in the coming months and coming quarters. And we'll be doing some things in terms of education and tools for our partners as well. So you'll see technology. Second thing we'll be doing is we'll be working on building the virtual team capabilities in the field, and specifically in the area of the PC business unit. Bruce and I are working closely and trying to put more resource in place so we can drive the Intel opportunity in the marketplace. And a third example I would give you is in the area of manufacturing, predictability and availability of our products. And you'll see continuous improvement in that area, also in the interoperability and the reliability of those products as well. So I've quickly talked about first half, talked about the second half. Let me close by asking or you to help us make that second half really great. Now, those of you who heard me speak before, usually I try to talk about 3 things that you can do. That's tough to do given the diversity of this audience. I know 3 things that the sales force could do. I've got 3 things I would recommend to the support people, 3 things to admin. But I'd like to take it up to a high ground for a second and talk about something that applies to all of us. And I would say our number one challenge, and I could translate Bob's comment about selling, is we need to execute better. And let me leave you with 3 characteristics that I would use to describe great execution. And they're easy to remember because they all start with the letter E. To me, great execution starts with 1, getting very excited about our business. There's a lot of great things going on inside our company. Excitement is contagious. Enthusiasm is contagious. If you're excited about it, your partners are excited about it, our customers are excited about it, it'll translate into good things about our company. Second thing I'd ask you to do in terms of execution, E start, is focus externally. We spend a lot of time inside this company talking about digital. The enemy is on the outside. The enemy is Compaq, HP, Sun, Silicon Graphics. It is not digital. We are the good guys. The bad guys are out there. Also, the customers are out there. That's where we should devote our energy. The last part about execution, and I'll reiterate a comment that Bob made, is empowerment. If you're excited and you're out there executing, be empowered. We have almost 60,000 people in this company. You've got a tremendous amount of resources. Go out there, be aggressive, be proud of what you're doing, take the customers head on. The phrase, whatever it takes, may be corny, but it's an empowerment phrase. And you can make a difference in driving the top line of this company. So, quickly try to talk about the first half, give you a perspective on the second half, ask for your help in execution, and making this a great year. Let me just close by thanking you for your support. Thank you for the great results. I look forward to working with you in the coming 2 quarters. and then celebrating a great 1997. Thank you very much. Now, all of the success in the business unit that I run would not be possible without great support, both pre- and post-support from the service division. So it's my great pleasure to introduce my partner in crime, the head of our services division, John Rando. John? Thanks, sir.
Good morning. It's my pleasure to be here in New York City as well. I wasn't born here. I'm a Bostonian. I lost some money to some of you in the fall, thanks to the Yankees. And it's nice to see the American League win again. I'm very happy to be here as well today and to talk to you about the first half performance of the Digital Services Division, a little bit of perspective on the strategic progress that we've made and what we need to do together in the second half to continue the momentum that we're building in this business. The first half performance for Digital Services has been very strong across the board. All three business units are on plan. We finished Q2 with all three business units producing a profit for the company. We saw that during that profitable quarter for the business units, we had an 8% improvement in the profitability per employee in the division. So we're also showing productivity, and that's helping us to stabilize our gross margins in multi-vendor customer services and in the operations management services and network and systems integrations group to actually improve gross margin performance in all three in those businesses. The operations management services business had another outstanding quarter in terms of growth, 29% year-over-year growth in that unit. That's a continuing quarter after quarter steady pace of almost 30% growth. We're seeing terrific growth in the practices, the new practices in network and systems integration, particularly mail and messaging, as Bob had mentioned, information management services, our manufacturing execution systems practice is growing well, and as is our internet practice. These are the areas that are the engines for growth for the company and for the service organization, not only in the second half of FY97, but also as we look ahead for several years. They're the areas of the business that we think will generate demand pull for our Intel servers, our Alpha servers, our Giga switches, our PCs, and our services and multi-vendor customer services. So a great deal of leverage with these major projects that we win in the network and systems integration organization. MCS had very solid performance. We have stemmed the erosion in the margin that was taking place during the first half of last year and through a bit of a decline in the second half of last year, and we now feel very confident that by the end of this year we'll be actually bringing those profits back up and continuing to lead the industry in terms of competitive performance on a profitable level. We're also winning some very big business against some pretty stiff competition in the marketplace. And we're winning with a great deal of teamwork across the organization. In fact, in all of the complex wins, whether they be multi-vendor bids that are multi-year large projects, large operations management services outsourcing deals, or major mail and messaging, our internet programs, and NSIS, it's a team effort that wins for Digital Equipment Corporation. It's that external focus. It's aiming at the competition, not at each other, that's bringing home the big wins. And TransAlta in Canada was a large win for OMS during the second quarter. This is a $70 million deal over 6 years. It's one of the largest SAP R3 rollouts in the world. And it's led by our OMS organization, supported by each of the business units in the company, particularly the systems business unit and the network and systems integration organization with help from MCS. I learned yesterday that we had a major win here in the city at JP Morgan, a $24 million MCS agreement, 6-year contract. Here we retained some business, and more importantly, we expanded some business in supporting over 10,000 clients within JP Morgan. And I want to congratulate the people who were directly involved in that, Jeannie Dolan and Seth Lewis and Mike Rutadario and Nancy Decker, for bringing home a very important piece of business for us already here in the third quarter. Not only are we winning some big business together, but we're being recognized in the industry for the progress we're making in implementing the digital services and digital equipment strategy. We're being recognized by some of the key industry analysts, by some of the major periodicals, by our competition, and by our partners. And probably one of the most significant accomplishments during the second quarter was the recognition by Data Communications Magazine for the second year in a row. The reason I think this is so important is we've gone on record saying that the mission of Digital Equipment Corporation is to deliver networked business solutions with our partners and based on high-performance products and services. And Data Communications conducts an annual survey of the largest network managers and the CIOs who are responsible for those networks in the world. And for the second year in a row, Digital finished in the winner's circle in this survey. We were rated overall the leading services provider for both hardware and software services in the industry. We finished second overall in hardware support to HP. We demonstrated the largest improvement in hardware support of any company in the survey. And we led in the software services survey in every single category that they measure with the exception of one. And there on a 5-point scale, we were 200ths of a point off the lead. So in every other department, we were the leader. Furthermore, on both hardware service and software services, we got the highest rating of any of the vendors in the survey for multi-vendor support, the best support in the industry on multi-vendor hardware and software products. And that says we've come a long way in the 4 years that we've been working on the multi-vendor support mission. You also note from the slide that G2 Research has looked at the digital strategy and operations management services, the one of developing a new paradigm for competing in the outsourcing business through distributed data processing and outsourcing of the desktop and server environments, and said that that is a very viable strategy and one which will lead Digital in terms of growth in the industry. That strategy was also acknowledged again last week by another leading industry analyst, Input, who said very similar things about the business. As I look forward to Q3, Q4, I think there are a number of things that we can do collectively as a company. And again, emphasizing the theme that both Harry and Bob put forth, focusing externally, concentrating on teamwork. And I would say we need to adopt a refuse to lose approach to some of the business that's in the pipeline. I've been with Digital now for almost 21 years. I started in a district office. At that time, when I joined the company, the district teams were the strength of the company, the ability to work across units to win on behalf of Digital. I see that spirit in many of the offices that I travel to throughout the world. And I think in the third and fourth quarter, if we look at our pipeline across business units and evaluate where we need to put the muscle and the focus of this company to win for Digital, to sell Intel products, to sell Alpha products, to sell our GigaSwitches, to sell our services, we can prioritize the business that we need to win, that we refuse to lose and want to win across our entire organization. And we compete best when we compete collectively against the competition, against the enemies that Harry identified, Compaq, HP, and Sun. We also have to continue to build on the focus that we have in the practices that support the 139 platform through OMS and network and systems integration to concentrate on more of that mail and messaging business, on building those intranets, on building the data marts, on winning the desktop outsourcing business and the internet outsourcing business. And Bob mentioned we've won 650,000 seats since July alone in mail and messaging. The pipeline says that we should win another million between now and July 1st, 6 months, another million seats, picking up the growth rate substantially. I believe if we put that prioritization in place across the organizations to concentrate all our resources on that pipeline, we'll bring that business home. We're also making very good progress with the point of sale product services and MCS. Penetrations are on the rise. They're up almost 12 points versus last year on new product sales. We're about 12 points off the pace that we want to end the quarter with. But with the kind of growth and the ramp that we're seeing, we have an opportunity, we're building momentum to leave FY97 with a very strong growth rate. And all of that comes very much from the dedication from people like yourselves all around the world. And we at the executive committee of the company appreciate very much your efforts and look forward to a successful second half of the year. Thank you.
I took some notes as Bob, Harry, and John were going through some things, and I know that they already covered some topics that I've talked with a number of you about over the last several weeks. So if you want a further explanation of some of the things or want to bring up something that wasn't particularly addressed, now's the occasion. Girish.
Hi, my name's Girish Nair. I work for the SBU in sales. My question's to you, Bob. What do you see as the biggest challenges that we face in the field to executing the nine initiatives?
Well, I think there's a number of challenges, and it'd be better for me to ask you the questions, really, because it's very much a function of what geography you're in, what unit you represent, who your account is, who your partner might be. But one area that we've talked about specifically is around getting teamwork and cooperation from the virtual teams. This is a difficult thing to execute. It's good in theory. It's a little hard to execute, and we've got to help make that easier for you to get the resources that you need to address the customer's problem. And we're working on that. The other thing is, though, is that in the field, you have to be clear letting us know what we need to do. Our job function is to help you be more successful. And you're very isolated in Maynard, frankly. We do business in 100 countries, as you know. It's impossible to know what's going on out there. It's why Harry and John and I and all of the management team are stressing empowerment and taking responsibility. Take ownership for the customer's success. And our job functions, as I say, are to listen to what we can do to improve it. Now, one of the things that we're clearly doing, as I think both speakers talked about, either directly or indirectly, is when we made our nine initiatives, the company is organized in such a way that those initiatives came about after the organizational structure. We're making some changes inside the company to get more resource behind those initiatives, and that'll be ongoing. That's an internal activity to help support our field. Most recently, we promoted Wes Melling, for example, to lead both our Windows NT and our Open VMS organizations, even though they're in different groups, partially in the PCBU, partially in the SBU, but to lead the effort to integrate our offerings and our support, and it's building on that affinity program. The organization's not quite right for that. Independent of that, we need to get organized. We've asked Wes to help us. We'll make some changes to make sure we get the resources behind you. And so I think that the opportunities are really quite extraordinary. And what we need to remember is, like Harry said, John said, we've got to stay excited about what products, what services, what solutions we can bring to our customers. You have to feel comfortable that you're well supported. So you can go into that client, that customer, and represent the company well and all elements of the company. So we have to work on that external focus and the cooperation internally. We just got to keep working on it. Other questions? Anything at all? Yeah?
I'd just like to ask for Harry. I'm Bill Watts. I'm a sales manager in the SBU. Bob spoke about an empowerment pilot that you are running. I'd like to hear a little more about that, if you care to comment on it.
One of the things we're trying to do is create a cultural change inside the business. I think when Bob put the nine business units in place, or seven, or however you want to count them, there's a tremendous focus on getting the company back to profitability. And the easiest and most effective way to do that is you develop a cost mentality, and you start managing expenses. And the good news is that worked. The company is back to profitability. The problem is, if you want to start to grow a business, it requires a different kind of energy level, a different kind of focus, a different kind of culture. It takes a while to make that change. So we're in the process of looking for ways to reduce the bureaucracy, reduce the levels of improvement, empower some people. You know, I ask people all the time, when's the last time you were yelled at? When's the last time somebody really yelled at you? And the answer is, you haven't been yelled at. other than for missing your search number, which means we're not stretching the boundaries of the company enough yet. And so we're going to run a couple of pilots. We're going to do something in the Northeast region, and Frank will tell you more about that. And in Europe, we're going to pick a couple of countries and try the same thing. But the idea is to let people close to the line make a couple of decisions that will make our customers feel better and hopefully enable business to happen a lot quicker.
Hi, my name is Sean Raleigh. I'm from the Ensis organization. I run the internet practice in the East here. You mentioned earlier about a branding campaign. Will that branding campaign extend to brand our services in the marketplace today?
It will. The branding campaign right now is under development, and we're using, as you know, DDB Needham here in New York as our lead agency worldwide. And the issue is to how do we bring more synergy to our brand? How do we build on the excellent technologies that we have, whether we're talking about Alpha as the microprocessor and systems leadership, we're talking about AltaVista as the world's most frequently visited index engine, some 24 million hits a day. We're talking about the strong arm chips. We're talking about the GigaSwitch. How do we get the brand identification for each of these things? And one of the debates that we have frequently is, well, do we want to highlight, you know, the business unit, or do we want to highlight the technology or the salient feature? And I'm much more biased to wanting to highlight the salient feature to the customer. Customers, frankly, have almost zero interest in how we're organized by business units or whatever. But they're very interested in the technologies we can provide that we've identified as the nine initiatives. So we ought to be in our advertising, in my view, focusing on the value that customers see. And services, as I mentioned, is one of the most important differentiators for digital. The two ads that you saw there, investment protection for the American Stock Exchange, I had the opportunity to meet Tom Ryan this week in Boston. And he is a really interesting person. I was very pleased that he was doing that testimonial for our value protection, investment protection from digital. We just have so many opportunities of that type. We want to build that concept in the marketplace that is digital is a company you can trust to deliver on its commitments, a company that will do whatever it takes. After you get into a complex program, many of these programs are so complicated, when you start the thing, nobody alive really knows all of the problems that you're going to run into. I used to be a customer of this company. One reason that I could sign the purchase orders for buying stuff I didn't understand was that I had confidence that when we got into the program, if there was some problem and it wasn't covered in the fine print, digital would fix it anyway. And that's the differentiator in signing these things. That's what I mean by whatever it takes. It means like whatever's necessary. We understand what we're trying to accomplish. And when we get that customer commitment on the dotted line, it's up to us then to deliver on that expectation. We have to do it profitably. We don't give things away. But that's the thing that we have going for us. So the advertising, customer testimonials, print advertising, PR with the Gartner groups, the Forrester groups, the Aberdeens, the influencers, has to all be emphasizing the synergy of digital's offerings. The total package is what we sell, not a box, not just a switch, the total package. And that's our value proposition. We've got to stress that more.
I'm Nanette Campbell with USLACT Desktop Practice. And I was wondering if you could talk about the career opportunities within digital services, like over the next 5 years, what you see.
Thank you, Nanette. I thought I was going to have to walk back. The career opportunities in digital service are tremendous for the next 5 years. Following the company strategy from network business solutions into the nine target market segments, the estimates that we've run and some of the modeling we've done about the size of the service organization in the year 2001 and are achieving the 20% market share position in the nine target market segments would say we need a service organization of approximately 40,000 people. We're 23,000 today. We're advertising in most of the major markets in the world right now for people in the network and systems integration services organization, people in OMS, Unix skills. We're hiring certified NT engineers as well as training. We're making major investments in training in MCS, looking for
what we call a technology explosion around NT and Unix and Exchange and SQL Server, Oracle 7. We're also training very heavily in NSYS along all of the networking skills that are required to support the company's mission statement. So we're hiring aggressively, we're running ad campaigns, we're investing in training, and we see a very strong growth uptick in the service organization in order to support the kind of business volumes that we expect to bring in. The second half of this year will tell us just how close we are tracking to the growth opportunities in the practices in each of the service groups. So I think the outlook is very bright, and with that kind of growth in services, that should ripple back through the company with a multiplier effect.
Yes, Stan Berkowitz, Regional Marketing Manager in the Eastern SBU, and this is question is to Harry and actually Bob as well. The call center appears to have achieved a great deal of success, maybe a little too much. I know they're very busy there, and my question is, do we plan to expand that to other units, to business partners, and you know, what's your vision maybe a couple of years out for the call center?
It's clear that the call center is doing great, and by the way, I've never had too much success. So I'm looking forward to celebrating that event. We've been very, very pleased with the call center. The call center is a great example, by the way, of a well-managed project that went from conception to implementation in about 9 months versus some of the other efforts we may have undertaken in this company. It's, as Bob mentioned, we're fielding 75,000 phone calls a month. We're capturing data on people coming in. We're building databases. We have a closed-loop lead tracking system. I am getting cards and letters from partners and customers. They cannot believe the service level they're getting from digital. Our customer satisfaction survey, for the first time in 3 quarters, we've had actually 4 quarters of steady decline in satisfaction, showed an uptick in the Americas in Q2 for the first time, directly attributable to the center. So we think the center is adding lots of value. It's also generating a lot of leads. The plan is to add additional products. We're running campaigns for different business units inside the company. We have started an effort in Europe already, so we're building a center in Europe, and the plans are to roll it out in Asia Pacific as well. So we think that's just a great example of using our technology. By the way, just an aside here, I also believe that the best way to sell something is to use it. You know, we send our sales force out every day, and we talk about three-tier client server, rehost, reface, re-engineer, and then you come back and use legacy systems. I think your credibility, your excitement will be much stronger, and your knowledge, if you use that, those things yourself. So we believe by putting those tools in place, you'd be much more effective. And by the way, the call center is a great testimonial. Every time we bring a customer through there, we get a lot of interest, Fidelity's interest. We had a security company walk through there about a month ago. They bought 6 call centers. Turbolasers associated with it. They weren't even in there to see the customer or the offering. So yes, it's working. Yes, we plan to expand it. And it's not only a great tool, it's a great demo if you want to sell sales automation to your customers.
Set over, rewind, beginning of side B.